Welcome to the University of Limerick Research Impact podcast series. Today I'm joined by Professor Alan Donnelly and Dr. Ciarán McDonagha of the Physical Education and Sports Science Department and the Health Research Institute here at the University of Limerick. In their research, Dr. McDonagha and Professor Donnelly are exploring physical activity and sedentary behaviour and health in Ireland. So, Alan, are we a nation of couch potatoes?
Well, I think like many countries, there's evidence in Ireland that there's a growing rate of obesity, particularly in young people. And I think what we need to do is we need to look at what is causing that and how can we modify it? How can we change behavior? You know, whilst obesity, one of the factors is diet, the other factor we all know about is physical activity. And we need to study the factors within physical activity that enable some people to not gain weight or lose weight and other people not to engage with physical activity. And my own particular area is to look at not just physical activity, but what we call physical behavior, which is your whole day. So not just the 30 minutes you went for a power walk, but also your day sitting at the office desk, sitting in front of the TV at night, or even standing waiting for the bus. All those are physical behaviors. And my research area is really about how these behaviors interact to determine your health. And it's health as well as overweight obesity, because you can actually be overweight but healthier if you're active. So what I'm very interested in is what makes some people sit for very long periods and others not, and how does it impact their health? If you are sedentary during the day at work, sedentary in the evening, but you do the recommended 30 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity, so you go for a jog or a power walk, does that actually improve your health? Does it add up to a positive benefit? And it's looking at how all these factors interact. And my colleague, Ciarán, works on what determines whether you actually do the activities, what factors lead you to those behaviours.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah, that leads me on nicely to the area that I'm working in, which is looking at the causes. Alan's talked about disease and, for example, physical inactivity or sedentary behaviour and how that might impact on obesity or cardiovascular disease. Recently, people are beginning to examine more, well, what causes the behaviour which results in disease. So we've coined that phrase, the causes of the causes. We all make choices. Some are very good and some are fun and some are adverse. Some choices we make, such as being active or being physically inactive, sitting a lot, being sedentary, having a poor diet, we need to try and understand why we make those choices and why other people don't make those choices. So somewhere in between making an adverse choice or deciding on a behavior which is not necessarily good for you and then participating in a behavior which is good for you, we want to try and understand why that happens. The reasons for those are many and complicated. And often when I'm presenting this data or I'm providing an insight into a class or lecturing, I present it as if you're walking through life as such, you're an adolescent, and imagine the environment that you're surrounded in. Imagine the people you speak to, imagine what is spoken to you, imagine what it's like waking up in the morning or later on in that evening, do you watch TV, etc. All of these factors impact on your behavior, and we're trying to find out more about that.
How has your research impacted those decisions that people make in terms of their physical activity?
Two different ways I could look at that is the traditional type of research one would do as a scientist, and we publish our research, and also aspects which I would say have more impact, such as a strategy, a national physical activity strategy, recommendations for physical activity, national interventions. So three things that I've been involved in, one would have been the recommendations for physical activity. Recently, and I say that it's 2009, But prior to that, we didn't have recommendations for physical activity in Ireland formally stated. We had them internationally for many years. But in 2009, I was involved with a group that put these recommendations on a website called Get Ireland Active. And this was through working with the health service executive. So that's one example. Second example linked to that was the development of a national physical activity plan, which is, again, working with the HSE, but more directly with the Department of Health and Children. So it's a national plan, and it's part of the Healthy Ireland initiative, and we contributed to that plan. Now, that plan has gone active, and within that plan, there's many areas that they target for the promotion of physical activity and many actions, now many, I have to say, that we have to try and move forward to promote physical activity. For example, physical education and the role that plays within schools. So promoting that and providing that in a way that increases the impact it might have on what I might call physical activity disposition. So cognitively, how do you feel about activity, which is the area that I'm interested in. And what Alan is interested in is the actual behavior, the outcome of that.
So I think that gives us the opportunity to jump back to you there, Professor Donnelly. If you could give us an idea of the impacts that your research has had in terms of the national physical education strategies.
Well, I think, you know, what my work is about is to try and bring a more nuanced approach to the study of physical behaviour. Because as Ciarán's alluded to, Ireland has developed, like many countries, guidelines for physical activity. And there's been a lot of money spent on promoting those. And most people know that they should be exercising 30 minutes a day, 5 or more days per week. That's reasonably well understood. But I think that a more nuanced approach would be to think about, well, what about your sitting time? And what about your standing time? And what about the exercise? Do you have to go to the gym and do hard exercise? Or would strolling actually be of benefit as well? And I think it's trying to get that more nuanced approach to the general public. And one way we're working on that is, in fact, Ireland's going to be one of the first countries internationally to have guidelines for sedentary behaviour. And I'm involved now with other researchers around the country writing those guidelines so that eventually Ireland will have both guidelines for how much physical activity you should do, but also how you should reduce or change your sedentary behaviour. And that might involve breaks in sedentary behaviour. In other words, you don't sit continuously at your desk, but maybe every 30 minutes or so, you get up, you go for a walk. Maybe you break sitting time with a bit of standing or a bit of strolling. It's not always possible, and it can be disruptive, but to get people to consciously think that long periods of sitting may be bad for their health. And that actually might be an approach that affects more people. It's very hard to get people to take on the 30 minutes a day of physical activity. A lot of people don't like to go to the gym. They don't have time in their lives to go to the gym or to do even more accessible exercise like power walking. But they might be able to think about when they're watching TV at night, stop the player, get up, walk around, do a bit of housework. Don't sit continuously for several hours without moving. And I think that is something that, whilst it has to parallel the physical activity guidelines, can supplement them and lead to a kind of better overall lifestyle change.
Thank you very much. I think your research is clearly making an impact nationally in terms of our population health. But could you give me an idea of where to next, or where do you want to go from here?
I'll speak from the context of the factors which promote or inhibit physical activity. So the correlates, as I call them. We have insights into some correlates. We have an understanding of certain ones, such as peer support, that your buddy or your friend is involved in activity, that your parents are involved in activity, that you have a perception of your competence, that you see yourself as an active, skillful individual. However, there's so many things that we do not understand. And a lot of that is to do with the type of data that we have gathered to date in this field. So recently we've been involved in putting together what we call a compendium of determinant data sets across Europe. So we've gathered all the relevant determinant data sets, and this could be up to maybe 140, 150 data sets into a compendium. And we've characterized them. We've said what they do and what is their content, etc. And we've examined them in great detail. But one thing we've noticed is the level of harmonization, or the potential to harmonize data sets, to bring them together, to maybe create a larger data set, is minimal, because people are measuring things in different ways. So there is no consistent approach to this research. Now, that is quite characteristic of a lot of research, and that is unfortunate. But we are moving towards what I would call prospective harmonization of research, so that future studies begin to deal with the big questions more effectively. And again, it links very much to what Alan is doing. And that's why to date we work very well together as a team. We're also good friends, but we work together as a team because Alan measures the behavior that I'm interested in objectively. And he uses high-end technology to do that. And without that input, the data that I collect is held in a vacuum. I can't compare it to something which is true. And that's how I look at the objective measure of physical activity. You have a very, very good insight, or a very good representation of how active an individual is. And if I have that operationalized, if I know that an individual is sedentary, they sit a lot, if I know an individual is predominantly involved in light activity, or if they meet the national recommendations for physical activity, I can then go ahead and measure what I call their determinant profile. This is their disposition from a cognitive perspective. Measure that disposition to participate in physical activity. If I notice there's a variation in that disposition across sedentary, light activity, or meeting the recommendations, I can then put in place interventions that might influence change. You know, this is our ultimate goal, isn't it, to change behavior, but change sedentary behavior, or influence people to move towards being more active, which would be success in itself, or the holy grail as such is facilitate people meeting the recommendations. So this to me is what future research should hold. So it's down to measuring the determinant profile more comprehensively. That is a huge task, because you have to look at the environment, you have to look at the individual and everything around that, and then using the best measures of the behavior that you want to predict. So that's what I would like to see in the future. And that is the way it's moving. And some of our recent research has indicated that. The examination of 150 data sets across Europe has indicated it's very hard to match or to bring this data together retrospectively. The common variables are not there. And that's because we have not been speaking to each other maybe as much as we should have been in the past. So one key step for the future is to stop that and begin to communicate more, or use a standardized approach to measurement. And that also has to be developed.
So, Professor Donnelly, it looks like collaboration is going to be key to future success in this area.
Yeah, I think, you know, behaviors like physical activity centered behavior are multifactorial. There are many factors that make you do more or less activity, make you sit or stand or walk at work. I think one of the things that's of real interest is getting a handle on it at a national level. Everyone's familiar with modern technology being used to look at physical activity. Because of the penetration of the market with devices like the Fitbit, the Misfit Shine, and many other worn devices that are used to measure how much activity you're doing. But Ireland, unlike many countries worldwide, has never, as a nation, used similar research devices to measure how much physical activity we do. There's been many individual studies. I'm involved in a large study in Mitchelstown, County Cork, looking at people in their late 50s. But there's been no national level study that has used devices. And we know that objective measurement using these devices is substantially more accurate as a measurement system than the previous system, which is recall-based, asking you how much exercise you did in the last week or how much time you spent sitting in the last week. And I think there are huge opportunities now to measure Ireland's physical activity and sedentary behaviour and physical behaviours, and to put that in as a benchmark to observe change, and also to compare that to the rest of Europe and to the rest of the world. We might think we're an inactive country, but are we? We just don't have that objective data at a national level. So I think that what is needed in Ireland is a cohort study where individuals and families are tracked over long periods, not just once, but going back to them every year or two to see has their behaviour changed, and starting to look at the national level to see do interventions work. So when there's an advertising campaign, does it make people more active or less sedentary? And also being able to say Ireland has improved its sedentary behaviour or has improved physical activity by having a benchmark to compare against and to compare against other European nations. And I think it's that application of technology in objective measurement that is the future of physical activity, physical behaviour measurement in Ireland.
You've been listening to Professor Alan Donnelly and Dr. Ciarán MacDonica at the University of Limerick. Their research is supported by the Irish Heart Foundation, Health Research Board, and the Health Service Executive. If you'd like to read the full case study of Professor Donnelly and Dr. MacDonica's work, go to our website, ul.ie/researchimpact.